Well, I was preparing for a different message, and I'm going to give that one most probably in 3 weeks. But I had this thought that I was going to open up with. And as I was thinking about it, the more I thought about it, the more it kept developing and developing and developing. I said, Lord, that's too much to give ahead of this other message. Are you wanting me to preach on this? And guess what? We are going to preach on what the Lord gave to us. And the first verses we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 4. And we're actually going to study the whole chapter of Mark 4 and see how it all relates together. You know, I like to put everything together. But I was looking at verse 23 and 24, and we'll do 25. And it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, I don't know about you, but I got two ears on here. I don't know, is there anyone here that doesn't have two ears? My mama always used to say, you got two ears so you can listen twice as much as your one mouth that speaks. Anyone else hear that one before? No, that dates me a long time ago. But God, it was saying here, take heed what you hear. And, you know, I always just kind of stopped there and thought, take heed what you, in other words, be careful what I listen to. You know, what I'm listening to on TV or what people say, or just be careful. But then I was reading it, and that's not what this is talking about. That's true. We need to be careful. But it says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. You know, sometimes that's a little hard to understand, Lord. What are you saying? Well, by the end of today, I hope you understand at least what the Lord has revealed to me. And hopefully it's in line, I believe, with what the scripture is saying here. Because if you ever want to understand something, you got to take it in context. Or with other scriptures that are saying the same thing, get the whole picture. So I hope you bear with me as we go through this in context to see what is the Lord saying. So we are going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through here. But first, let's just pray. So Father God, your word says that if any of us have ears to hear, that we should take note of what we're hearing. So I pray you'll help us to pay attention to what you're saying and hear what you're saying today, because all of your words are important. They're for us, they're meant for us, each and every one of us that's here today. It's meant for us, and anyone that listens to these recordings, it's meant for them. So we open our ears, Lord. We open our heart to receive from you. We ask that the words that come forth be yours only and not our own interpretation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, verse 1, chapter 4. Of Mark. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, So that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Isn't that just the wisdom of the Lord? He knew to sit in the boat and let the water carry his voice out to all those people. He didn't have a PA system like we have. But he had a boat to sit in. Even if it was borrowed, he could sit in the boat, speak to the people, didn't have to strain his voice, because he was teaching all day long. So then he taught them many things by parables. Now, just to explain a little as I go along, a parable is something that takes something you know and understand to explain something you're not familiar with. Or it might be taking something in the natural to explain something in the spiritual. So the Lord's trying to teach them something in the spiritual realm about the kingdom of heaven. And so he goes and he talks to them about something they're all familiar with. So he talks to them in parables and he says to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." See, around there, they all knew about sowing seed. That was their livelihood. They planted fields, they harvested them, or they had cattle or fished if they were on the lake. But they still all knew about sowing this seed. So, and it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, just to explain a little bit more about the field, I know not everybody nowadays is familiar with a farmer planting a field. So when a farmer gets a new piece of land, he takes this plot and he starts turning that soil over and over and over, breaks it up into small, fine little pieces. If there's any stones in it, he takes them out and puts them off on the side and, you know, makes a pile of them. And then as it's growing, if there's any weeds, he weeds. Anybody here have to weed in their garden? Take out those weeds, because those weeds will grow up and choke out the plant. And then usually around this garden plot, you're going to have a little pathway around it. That's called the wayside. It's firm because you're walking on it. You don't go walking on the ground that you've prepared because it's going to go and make it hard. So you've got this plot of ground here. Well, if it needs some fertilizer, you're going to put that in, right? You're going to prepare this soil. You're going to get this soil good to receive that seed so that when the seed is planted, it's going to grow. So now when the seed is scattered. Now that's different than planting in rows. When you're scattering seed, it's going to fall all over the place, right? You're just spreading it out. Some's going to fall beyond into the wayside. Some's going to fall in that pile of rocks. But you're not concerned about those because you're concerned about the seed that's going into the good ground. And you want the best harvest that you can possibly get. So you make sure that whole field has seed in it. So, verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. See, they wanted to know more. Now, if you look at any church or any group, you're going to have people that we call the core people. Those that are always there, always pressing in, always wanting to know. Those that are always wanting to do and help. Here it shows that there were some around him and the 12. So it wasn't just the 12, but they were asking for revelation. What does this mean about this parable? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Or to those that are on the fringes. You know, people come along, people are just curious, people want to know. You know, I think I'll go over to that church and just figure out what they're all about. Are they really going to know? You're not really going to know until you become one of those that are seeking and asking God, reveal it to me. Reveal to me, Lord. So then it continues on, verse 12, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Well, isn't that what we want them to do? We want them to hear. We want them to learn. We want their sins to be forgiven them. Well, I want to read in Matthew, the 13th chapter. It's talking about the same thing, but it gives a little more explanation of that. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. We're going to just read that. So keep your place here in Mark chapter 4 because we're coming back. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and will not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. See, there's a reason there. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. See, there's a responsibility there. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." God's purpose is for us to be healed, is it not? Isn't that why Jesus came? Is not his purpose to save everyone? He died for the whole world. But we have a responsibility with it. We have to desire to know. We have to have a desire to see. We have to have a desire to hear. 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see." Amen. I can say that over every one of us here. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." Jesus hadn't come yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. But he's here now. Amen? He's here for us. You can keep your finger here because we'll come back here later. But back to Mark, the fourth chapter. Now, my Bible has this in little sections. And so this section, starting on verse 13, is the parable of the sower explained. This is what Jesus is explaining now. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" In other words, I gave you something basic that you should know. Planting of a field? I mean, everybody knows, a child knows this here. And you can't understand? Well, how are you going to know anything if you don't understand this? He took something so simple, he thought, to teach them. So he explains, and he says, "The sower sows the word." So the seed we know is the word of God, right? And the sower, we know, is God, because he's the one that gives us the word, right? But he does use people, right? He speaks to us through the ministers. He could speak to you through your neighbor. He can speak through someone that's not even saved. But somebody is sowing the word, right? And it's directed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, "And these are the ones by the wayside." Now listen carefully, where the word is sown. "When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Immediately. "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." You ever been to church when everybody's, ooh, high, happy, glorious, everybody's receiving? And then you go home. And what happens? Well, hopefully you take it with you. But if you don't have any root in you, this is what happens when tribulation comes. Now, verse 18, "These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, they were producing. They were good ground. They were producing. But then little by little, oh, God's blessed me so much. I can afford this now. Yeah, I can afford this now. I can do this. I can do that. Oh, now, you know, we need to go and enjoy ourselves with this newfound toy that God has given us. But the only time I can do it is Saturday and Sunday, you know. So there goes church, right? I'm not trying to preach any condemnation, because we've all been there. And there's times when sometimes you just have to take a day off because you're going somewhere doing something. But we need to be careful it doesn't become a habit. Amen? Because then it's just thorns that's coming in and little by little choking out the word. You're not hearing the word. You're not living the word. You're not doing the word. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 13 and read that part in verses 18 to 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Well, how do you overcome that? By asking God for revelation. If you don't understand something, ask God. Verse 20. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. You know, there's a lot of Christians that want the word and to receive the word, but they want to be like closet Christians. Have you heard that term? I want to be a Christian. I'll go to church, but just as long as nobody else knows. I'm not going to say anything at work or anything anywhere else, in case they, you know, start saying something negative about, maybe they'll look at me as one of those. We better get over it. Oh, praise God. Is this echoing? It's echoing to me. Maybe we need to turn it down. It's like Chris. This is kind of echoing. So, he has no root in himself, but endure. Can you still hear me? Now we need to go up just a little. Praise God. We'll get it right. They don't get to practice on me all that often. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who has received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I thought that was really confusing too. Why, same seed being planted, are some only producing 30%, some 60, 100. Now the Lord was pleased with them all, but why has this one got 100%? Lord, I want to be in that 100%. I don't want to be satisfied with just 30%. Well, let's keep reading. Back in Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Now he starts talking about a light, a candle, under a basket. What has that got to do with this, Lord? Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Well, when I was a kid growing up, I just kept on thinking, oh, if I do anything wrong, and even if I try to keep it a secret, it's going to get revealed and everybody's going to know that I've done something wrong. And I believed that for years. Well, that's not what this is talking about. God is talking about his word, this light. He's not hiding the word from us. He's bringing light to shine on the word so that we can see it, so that we can understand it. If we ask for revelation, he's going to shine the light on it. He's going to give us revelation so we can understand his word, what he's saying to us. Because he doesn't want to have something hid from us in secret. That's not, if it's in secret, that's only from those who are on the outside. We're not on the outside, we're on the inside. So I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to do a little walk, and you know I got to show other verses. 9 through 16. So we're just going to read through here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Guess what he's got prepared for us? Oh my goodness. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You know, unless God reveals to us, we're not going to know. The world can't know about God, not unless it's revealed to them. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He has all this stuff for us, just waiting for his kids. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's why you get persecuted. You start talking about the things of God, and it's not what they believe, they're going to scoff at you. So what? For they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Praise God, we are of the group that can spiritually discern. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. It doesn't matter what they say. They don't know how to judge you. They don't have the Spirit of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who can instruct God? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? Now, I want to show you someone who had a revelation from the Lord. You know, there's always circumstances that we really need a revelation from God. And I'm going to take you back to somebody in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. We're turning to Daniel. Daniel, the second chapter. How many have heard about Daniel? I don't think there's anybody here that hasn't heard, is there? Although I didn't see too many hands. I guess we need to send you back to Sunday school. But you might not have heard of this in Sunday school. Second chapter, verse 16. Now, to put it in context, Daniel was already a leader, and Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler, an ungodly ruler, and they were, of course, in captivity. But he had this dream. And it bothered him. And he wanted to know what it meant. But he either didn't want to tell him what dream it was, or he couldn't remember what the dream was. But it bothered him. And he wanted all these wise men to tell him what this dream meant. So if he didn't tell them what the dream was, then he'd know if they were telling him the truth, right? Because they couldn't make something up. So then nobody could tell him the answer. And they said, just tell us your dream and we'll give you the interpretation. Nope. You're all going to die. They'd kill all of you. You can't tell me, you're worthless, you're nothing, so I'll just kill y'all. Well, now word got to Daniel, because he's included in this group. That meant he was going to die and his three friends. So Daniel went in and asked the king, verse 16, to give him more time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Remember, this is under the Old Covenant. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Or we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. God can do that. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. And verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he goes and he tells King Nebuchadnezzar this. And then he tells him the interpretation. This is what our God is like. If we ask for revelation, he's going to give us revelation of his word. He's going to show us every little detail. He's concerned for us. Not concerned like I'm worried about you, but his desire is for us. He wants to help us if we just let him help us. A lot of times we're trying to do it ourselves. Then when we really get into trouble, oh God, help. Meantime, maybe we could have listened sooner and got help sooner. Oh, praise the Lord. But he knows we're human. And isn't he always loving and caring and just, come on, kid, get in here. Let me love on you a little bit. So now we're going to go back to Mark, and we're going to look at verse 26, chapter 4, verse 26. Back to some seed. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to forget something important here. Back up a little bit. This light that is being shown. And then verse 23 says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. In other words, pay attention to the words that God is saying. It will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This goes right back to what Jesus was talking about with the parable. If you're not paying attention when you hear the word, Satan's going to come and immediately steal it from you. You're not even going to get out the door. And he's already come and stole the word from you. Anybody ever ask you, what did the pastor preach on? Let's see, and you've already forgotten? I've been there. I mean, I know what he talked about, but to try to tell somebody else, it's like, I don't know. Well, how well was I really listening then? And the Lord was showing me this part with the same measure that you use to listen with. So it's going to be measured back to you. In other words, the 30-fold, the 60, and the 100-fold is determined by you. How well do you listen to the word? When you come to hear the word, are you excited about hearing the word? Knowing that it's coming from God himself? It doesn't matter who's presenting it. Are you listening intently? If you're listening about 30%, Well, you'll get a harvest of about 30%. If you're listening intently, a little better, 60%. I got 60% of that. You have a 60% harvest. But 100%, man, I listened with everything that I got in me. I even took a few notes. Guess what? There's a 100% return on what you heard. That is what God loves, is when we listen. He's happy with whatever you listen to. Okay? We'll talk a little bit more about this later. Verses 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So when we got the word coming into us, into good ground, we don't have to worry about it producing something. You know, some people are work, 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 work. We got to do this for the Lord. Do this, do this, do that. You know, it becomes a works thing. And God is saying, Jesus was saying here, the word's planted, it's going to grow. If it's in good soil, it's going to grow. The farmer goes to sleep, relaxes, and lets this seed grow. First of all, you know, you're just going to have a little blade shoot up. Well, the farmer doesn't get all excited and wonder, well, it's just a blade. No, he knows it takes time. It takes time for some of that word to come into full manifestation in your life. But if you leave it there and you don't dig it up, you ever dig up the seed? Oh! It sprouted. Well, now you just ruined it because you dug it up. No, you can't apply everything, but but you're going to get it growing. You're going to see a little more, So don't sit there wondering, well, I wonder if anything's going to come of this. Well, first of all, you have to have mixed faith with it. If you don't mix faith with it, nothing's going to, you know, add a little fertilizer, a little water. You got to add faith to it. Put some faith in that soil. Let it grow. Verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground, it's smaller than all the seed on earth. In other words, it's one of the very smallest seeds. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the other herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. What the Lord showed me with this is God can take just a tiny, tiny little seed. He can give us a little revelation that will change our whole life. Just one time. He just has to speak a word and it can change our life. Amen? It doesn't take much. So when you're praying for someone and you think, ah, they're never going to come around, it only takes a little revelation from God to change them. He has made us so unique. The way He has made our bodies, He made them originally out of dust. If He can take dust and make us, can't He fix anything in us? So why are we worried? Why are we stressed about it? Why don't we give it to Him? He's the Creator. Do we believe Him? Do we trust Him? It just takes one little revelation from the Lord, and our whole life can be changed. Our whole family can be changed. Anyone that we're thinking about can be changed. Just that tiny, tiny little bit. The mustard seed. As they say, you know, so you see some people going around wearing the little mustard seed of faith. It's just that little bit of faith. We mix His word with faith, and look what it'll produce. And it produces something that others can benefit from. The birds of the air come and they sit on the branches and they are cool and they scratch around. Oh, let me not get started, sorry. You have to put up with me, huh? Verse 33. And with many such parables, He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Are you able to hear? It has to do with our desire. But He didn't try to give them more than they could hear. Why dump the whole load if you can't take the... You'll drown if you get the whole load. Just what you can take, He'll give you little by little. You keep persevering, He'll give it to you. But without a parable, He did not speak to them. And when they were alone with Jesus, He explained all things to His disciples. See, all the crowd was coming for what they could get out of it. They weren't coming to know Him. They weren't coming to really find out. They just wanted to come and see, benefit from the loaves and fishes, whatever. Okay. The wind and the waves, verses 35 to 41. On the same day, you say, why is this in this chapter? Well, I'll tell you what I think. On the same day when the evening has come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. See, He's still in the boat. And the other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling up. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Well, He wasn't worried. He was exhausted after teaching all day. And they awoke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Now my take on this is, going back to how are you hearing? How are you listening? Jesus was teaching them, But they were still new in learning how to hear. And when you really hear something, faith comes, right? Faith comes by hearing the word. And that's how we get our faith. So he says, how is it that you have no faith? They've just been listening to the word all day. So they should really be built up with faith, right? But how were they hearing? One key here in verse 38, it says they called him teacher. To them, he was still just a teacher. They didn't know him yet as Lord and Master and Savior. They did not understand that when he spoke the words, let's go over to the other side, that meant we're going to the other side. That's where we're going. He didn't say, well, let's go out into the middle of this big old sea. A storm's going to come and we're all going to die and go down. Did he say that? That's what their faith was in. They were going to die and go down. So they were looking at the wind and the waves. Whereas Jesus had spoken, Jesus, God, creator of the universe, had said, let's go to the other side. Well, if they had known him in that regard and listened to him with that type of respect, they would have known they weren't going to go down. But you know, he's patient with them. He knows they're just learning. Just like with us, he knows we're just learning. And he's always ready to take us in and to hug us, to put his arms around us, tell us, it's okay, we'll get through this, we'll do it again, you'll do better next time. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 7, if I can get there. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We're the ones responsible for the soil. Our heart. We're responsible for making sure that we listen, that we hear. That's because God made us with the ability to choose. So we're the ones that decide what kind of soil we have. It becomes hardened if we choose to harden it and shut out the revelation. You know, we can be very receptive to part of the scriptures. I know I've been this way. We'll come across something that we don't quite understand, and I've said, you know, I don't understand this. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to accept this until I understand more about it. So I just put it on the shelf for a while. But that's okay to... Sometimes we have to mature a little bit to understand it. But if we leave it there forever, we're actually hardening our hearts to that part of the word. I know for me, it's always been hard to believe in finances. I can believe for other things, but it's like I've always got to do it. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. In order for the money to come in. It's always been that way. But he's trying to teach me. But I have to be willing to hear and listen and receive what he's saying. Right? So we can take a portion of the scripture and be so excited and happy and receive it 100%, and then another section, I just don't quite understand that. I got to work for this. I got to do that. In the meantime, he's trying to say, I have all these blessings to give you, but because you're not ready to receive it, you'll have to struggle along a little longer. But, you know, he's still happy that we're his kids, right? So anyway, Proverbs says it this way. So we're going to turn to Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline, right? That means lean into it, right? Lean into his word. Open up your ears. Listen. Give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. That ground in your heart, keep it with all. In other words, take care of it. For out of it spring the issues of life. Everything that is planted into our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, you're going to see the results of everything taking place in our lives. Is there a need? Is there something you need? God has it for you. So in conclusion, I just want to read out of Revelation some of the verses that Jesus was saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're going to go to Revelations. We're going to be looking at some verses in chapter 2 and chapter 3. This is what he has for us. Are we his church?
Yes.
So everything that was written to the churches is for us, right? Everything. So we can take this and say, yes, this is mine. This is for me, and I want it. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Woo-hoo! I get to eat the tree of life. That means I have life everlasting, right? And what does that tree, I hear there's a tree that has 12 different kinds of fruit on it. And I get to eat of that tree? That's mine. I'll share with you, but it's mine. Hallelujah. Verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Praise God, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I am going to be with Christ for eternity. I don't have to go through the second death. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Ooh, we know that's the word, right? It's been hidden for us. Amen? To eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. I'm going to have my own special name that just Jesus and I know about. You don't get to share that one. That's mine. I'll let you have some of the manna, but that name is mine. Okay. All right, so now we're going to go to verses 26 to 29. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. You know? I may have a city to rule over. I don't know. Whatever he thinks. Of course, I don't care much for cities, so maybe he'll give me a countryside. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verses 12 to 13. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we get to be in the temple of the Lord all the time. Verses 21 and 22. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we know the scripture says we're seated with him in heavenly places. But there's going to be a ceremony where we get to sit down with him on his throne. Right there in glory land. Amen? To rule and reign with him. That's what he has for us. It's hard to imagine. But if we read these chapters and ask God for revelation, he can make this so real to us that we live in it. When we really believe this, nothing that happens to us here matters. Because our eyes are fixed on a heavenly goal. Our eyes sees into the future. It sees and knows that there's something much more than what we've got here. These things that are happening here on earth is so temporary. It lasts but a moment. And if we can see that, it only lasts for a moment. So let us take heed how we hear when the word is being given to us. Let's come excited and expecting when we come to the house of the Lord and we know his word is going to be given to us. We want that revelation. Ask God for revelation so that we can have 30, 60, 100 return on our investment of listening. Listening has more to do than just hearing words, doesn't it? If you really listen, that means you're going to act on the word that you've heard. It's going to be there. It's going to be so implanted that nobody can steal it away from you. Amen.